If you could tell people what a PICO national network is and what kind of work the organization does, that'd be great.
Yeah, so the PICO National Network is a network of community organizing agencies in about 150 U.S. cities, 19 states, and over 2,000 congregations. We organize in the faith communities all across the country around issues such as mass incarceration, living wage, health care, immigration reform. And we've been in the Ferguson area since Michael Brown was murdered by Officer Darren Wilson, off and on for the last 100 days.
You have been at Ferguson during some of the past months?
Yes, I'm here now. Been here every month, not every day, but every month since Michael Brown was slain by Officer Wilson.
Can you talk a little bit about your own reaction to the failure to indict Officer Wilson last night when that was announced?
Well, I think my reaction was like so many people here in the local area and so many people around the country. We were obviously outraged, believed that justice was not done in this case. The bar to indict a person by a grand jury is not the highest legal bar to try to amount, and we believe that there was sufficient evidence, including a very compelling eyewitness evidence that should have resulted in an indictment. Obviously, the prosecuting attorney didn't bring charges to the grand jury, and they were left to try to figure that out on their own. So the decision to not indict leaves many in deep pain and deep sadness for this family. They were looking for answers and placed their belief and trust in a legal system that has not a great track record of delivering justice for young men of color. But nonetheless, with last night's announcement, all of the pain and the anguish that this community has felt over the last 108 days suddenly came to the surface, and people reacted in ways that are consistent with being outraged, acted in ways consistent with being traumatized. And certainly there were some who acted in ways that were irresponsible, but for the most part, you know, there were peaceful protests here on the streets of Ferguson for the last 108 days, mostly led by young people. And those young people were out on the streets last night and were met with the same kind of police response that left so many of them tear-gassed and shot with rubber bullets back in August, again last season.
And were you out observing the streets last night?
I got in very, very late last evening and met up with a number of our colleagues who were out on the streets, some of the young people that we've been working with. We've been here on West Florissant this morning. Law enforcement won't allow access to the street, but we've been, sort of walking the perimeter. We're here at Greater St. Mark's Church now, waiting on an announcement from the family. And the mood here, obviously, today is very somber. People are very subdued, obviously still, you know, in a great deal of pain. Events of last week were very traumatized for this community. And those of us who are members of the clergy continue to pray, but also continue to work to organize the voice of everyday people of faith. We believe their voices are important right now.
Mm-hmm. And can you talk a bit about why this decision and this police killing is so crucial and has so much meaning for the whole nation?
Well, I think there are a couple of things that make this so powerful and so compelling. Obviously, Michael Brown, a murder at the hands of Officer Wilson, is not an isolated incident, but over the last few years especially, there have been a number of celebrated cases where young men of color have been, many of them unarmed, shot by the police. Sean Bell in New York, Oscar Grant in Oakland, and of course, although this case with Trayvon Martin didn't involve the police, it was another instance where an unarmed black youth was slain And no one has been held accountable, even though in Trayvon's case and in Oscar Grant's case, the assailants were tried. The outcome still left many feeling that justice is never available for people of color, and that like life doesn't matter. I think the other thing that makes this particular instance so important is that the young people in this community have been leading these really powerful and imaginative and peaceful protests for 100 days. They've made it very clear that their intention was to stir the passions of good people of faith everywhere who believe that conditions that these young people are living in are intolerable and need to be changed, need to be addressed. And I think because they were so determined to be peaceful and so determined to reach out to as many people in the community with a message that there's a need to work on the systemic issues, I think that makes this situation all the more important, not just for Ferguson, but for the nation.
And what kind of message do you think it gives them about the legal system?
Well, I think that the message that many will take away from this is that the legal system, like so many other institutions in this country, doesn't or isn't yet able to best represent the interests of people of color. I think that they'll come away from this feeling that young men of color especially are continue to look for protection and support, fair treatment in the legal system, but often are met with a system that is leveraged against them. I think that they'll come away feeling that they are alone and isolated, and that their rank and file colleagues and other American residents and citizens don't really care about them and their lives. Certainly, you know, we believe that this situation gives us all a moment to pause and to examine both our own hearts, but also the institutions that govern us, and continue to insist that they govern us fairly and equally and justly.
What are you, or what is the PICO National Network calling for now?
So the PICO National Network is calling for a number of things. One, that we all participate in a period of mourning, that we have seen not only the loss of Michael Brown's life, but we've had a number of these young people who have been been jailed. A number of them have been shot with rubber bullets and tear gas. We've seen even law enforcement hurt in some way, and that we all ought to take a moment, pause, mourn the loss of quiet and the loss of peace in this community. And certainly, you know, we believe that we ought to mourn the failure of the system again to do all that it can to protect the lives of young people of color. I think we're also calling, though, that people of faith everywhere remember that our faith compels us to always be about love, always be about the elevation of love in public such that it results in justice for everyone. We are encouraging people of faith everywhere to, you know, educate themselves about the issues that are important to Ferguson at this time, and find ways that they can involve themselves in making change happen.
Well, I was just wondering if you saw the role of the federal government bringing any kind of resolution or better outcome in this case of Officer Wilson.
Well, we know that the Justice Department is still examining both the shooting of Michael Brown and also examining closely local law enforcement, and we certainly hope that that examination, that inquiry, will result in change. I mean, you have a legal system here in this area that has consistently, arrested, detained, jailed young people of color for a long time. And many here believe that it was only a matter of time before things boiled over, and that people could only, you know, withstand the vicissitudes and challenges of that kind of isolation for so long. So we're hoping that the federal inquiry will result in some change, but frankly, a lot of folks at this point right now are not optimistic that it will be, and we certainly are appealing to the president. We're appealing to the Justice Department. You know, this was the first night of reaction to the release of the verdict and or the decision by the grand jury. There are many more nights to come, and there's still a need for justice. Still a need to, you know, change things on the ground here. Still a need to protect the rights of peaceful protesters. Certainly still a need to make the community secure and safe for everyone. We continue to hope that both our president and the Justice Department will do even more than they've done so far.
Reverend Alvin Herring, is there anything else that you'd like to add to our conversation?
I would. I mean, I think that, you know, the situation in Ferguson, like so many situations these days, gets cast into black versus white and white versus black. There's certainly those who will try to bring a partisan interpretation to it. But let me say that the parameters of this situation are compelling for those of us who still believe in justice. A young man is dead. His parents are grieving. The community of young people are grieving along with his parents. Our justice system is broken, and we all know that. Regardless of our racial background, regardless of our class or our status, we know that this system is broken, and unless we are prepared to confront that, unless we are prepared to seek each other's support, unless we are prepared to speak to the underlying systemic issues, situations such as what we are experiencing here in Ferguson will not go away. There's a reckoning coming. We must change things in America, and I would hope that people of faith would feel today that change needs to begin today, and it needs to begin with them.
Thank you so much, Reverend Alvin Herring. Thank you so much for speaking with us today.
You're welcome. God bless you all and your listeners.